Joining me in studio is Hassan and Hussein, and taking your calls on 0216-991-786 is Nazima. We're in the nucleus segment of the FYI show, and what are we looking at? Aging gracefully. And this is actually the perfect topic for today, isn't it, Hassan? Aging. Am I aging gracefully? It is my birthday today, so let's talk about aging gracefully. So, but I'm sure there's more to the topic than what I am saying. Aging gracefully, is it just about getting older? What is it about? Longevity is a modern phenomenon, but without the mindset and health span for a full, happy lifespan, not of much use then, isn't it? Now, Hanneke van Zyl Edeling explains why, how we grow older and old is in our own hands. Interesting. So what do you feel, and how do you feel, my dear brothers and sisters, my dear listeners, how do you feel about aging? How does our youth feel about aging as well? And how do they look at someone that's older? So let's hear from you. Use the WhatsApp line to chat to me about it on 0786 10 11 12. 0786 10 11 12. We're looking at aging gracefully. Guest online is Hanneke van Zyl Edeling. She is an author and a counseling psychologist. Good afternoon and welcome, Hanneke.
Good afternoon, Camilla and listeners. Isn't this wonderful? I'm so happy to be with you.
Fantastic. It's lovely having you, and I'm really, really looking forward to our chat. You know, aging gracefully. When we speak about age, we always say it is said that age is but a number. But I guess, you know, without the mindset and health span for a full, happy lifespan, that thought cannot be of much use, like you said. And you're the one, you know, that said, that quoted, I'm quoting from what you said, Hanneke. So let's speak about, about positive aging. You're also author of Over the Hill Moon, A Guide to Positive Aging. Maybe before we speak about, you know, what aging is about and what it is that we speak about when we say you must have the proper mindset, let's first find out who Hanneke van Zyl Edeling is, if you don't mind. Hanneke?
Are you wanting me to say?
Yes. I want you to share, you know, with the listeners who you are in terms of, you know, you've written, you're an author as well as a counseling psychologist.
Yes. So let me tell you about the title of the book.
Yeah.
I think with your print, you missed a little something there.
Is it?
It's Over the Hill that is crossed out, and then it is Moon, because we're choosing not to be over the hill. And you know, it's a fascinating thing for me, because I started my career as a dietitian, and then I very quickly realized it's one thing to tell people what to eat, and it's another thing to get them to do it. So I started studying psychology to get more into their heads. And obviously, as the years went on, worked a lot with stress and with blood sugar problems, and now with the positive aging. And it's so fascinating for me how all these things go together, because we need to realize that our bodies go where our heads go, and that is where we choose to go. Now, previous times, there was like a kind of a default setting. I remember I was so fascinated by the fact that people used to think that life is over at 40. And if you've seen the book and also the article, that was definitely what my grandfather did. I remember him sitting on the stoop waiting for his death. And I couldn't imagine why someone would want to do that, because he was in his 40s. He only died at 75. And I think he wasted so much time.
55 years.
But now there's another thing. We know that people nowadays are getting much older. And this is now before the COVID. I think some statistics will probably change now. But for the ones who make it, we certainly can look forward to a life of 100 years quite easily. Some people say that the first guys who are going to be 150 years old are already walking on the planet. Mm. But now here's the thing. Mm. If we expect to deteriorate so quickly, what is the point of those extra years? And that thing has been fascinating me. Why would one want an extra 35 years after retirement? Because from 65 to 100, you're going to add another 35 years, right?
Mm.
So what are you going to do in that time? And so I want people to really understand that there's a very big difference between chronological age and biological age. Because the chronological age, we can do nothing about.
Yeah.
Was it your birthday today?
It is. Yes, it is.
So, happy chronological birthday.
Yeah. Definitely over 50.
And hopefully your biological age is a whole lot younger than that.
Mm.
Now, we can't influence the chronological age, but there is a huge lot that we can do about the biological age.
Mm.
And that depends so much on how we think, what we eat, what we exercise, who are our friends, what we keep our minds busy with, and all those things are choices.
Mm.
Now, you would have noticed that in the article, and also there's so much happening in the literature at the moment, but they reckon that only about 5 to 10% of what happens to one's body is genetically determined.
Mm.
And at least about 90% of what happens to us is our own actions and our behavior. Now, those things are in our control.
Mm.
And so because I'm a bit of a control freak, I actually would like to be able to control those things.
Right, right.
Mm.
All right.
So, that's what we're aiming for.
Mm.
We want a long, healthy life. And in fact, there's a very interesting thing that that they're showing now. You know, when in previous days, we used to think that after age 40, it really was downhill. And mm. if you can imagine 40 a high point, and then with a line going diagonally down until you finally die,
mm.
that isn't a very exciting prospect. Nowadays, they're talking about the fact that that graph is much more of a rectangle. So your life and your health stay very much on a plateau and on a good high.
Mm-hmm.
And then just the very last bit is a short, sharp decline.
Mm.
A few days, maybe a week or two, and then you're out of here. So that is what we're aiming for.
Right, so Hanneke, actually, like you've heard, it is my birthday. So obviously, with calls and so on, and the first thing they ask, how old are you? And you know, you get, they always say never ask a female her age, but I never shied away from saying my age. Actually, I was very proud to announce how old I am and so on. So the lady that calls, she says, Your brain only starts functioning, because I told her about the program that we're doing, Aging Gracefully, and she says to me, please do tell your guests that I say that your brain only functions at the age of 55, and that is the time when you see things clearly, what the world is about, and how blessed you are and how fortunate you are. What are your thoughts on that comment?
You know what? I think it is actually a time where a whole lot of changes happen in one's life.
Mm.
For many of us, our children are out of the house and so on. And suddenly you have time to see what's going on around you.
Mm.
Now, for many people, I think, unfortunately, if that looking positively at the world isn't already a habit, it could be quite difficult to change the direction in which they're going.
Mm-hmm.
So I want people to know that they can start really early. It's almost like building a house. If you start building it properly and you get it square and straight and strong, then it's going to last you for a long time. So I want people to imagine that they don't have to build it all crooked and then try fix it when they're 55.
Mm.
They can actually build it properly from the beginning and then even grow or build on a bit as they go along. But she's quite right.
Mm.
The people's wisdom tends to really come to the fore at that age.
Right.
And but I also think very much it depends I know some people who are really old and they're like in their 40s. Mm. And then I've got a colleague, she turned 96 the other day.
Wow.
She's still consulting.
Wow. 96.
She said to me, I think I'll stop doing active marketing now.
That's amazing. Wow.
At age 96. Yeah, she's clearer than you or I. Brilliant.
She must share her secrets with us. But Aniki, like,
I know her
secrets. You? Okay, we're going to share that.
We're going to share that
in a bit. We're going to share that in a bit. But like you said, Aniki, growing old is part of life. So what should our mindset be like where growing old is concerned? It is said that you should prepare yourself in your 20s for your 30s, 30s for your 40s, and 40s for your 50s, etc. Yeah. Now, is this how it should be? We're not all disciplined enough to stick to a plan, right? And sometimes we want to eat what we want to eat. We not exercise and throw caution to the wind. So what are your thoughts on this? Is this the attitude we should have? I know, like you say, you mentioned, let's speak about building a house. So for me, it's having that foundation proper, because the foundation is what holds everything else.
Completely. Mm. And you know the very old saying, you are what you eat.
Yeah.
It really is that. Now, I've been fortunate enough to be listening to a whole lot of webinars just recently on longevity.
Mm.
And without a doubt, we do have to pay attention to food that we eat. Now, we don't have to be completely fanatical, and it doesn't mean that we can never eat things that are on the forbidden list.
Mm.
But it's that old principle of moderation and getting a wide variety of nutrients and not focusing on the wrong things. Now, there's something that I actually have never understood. I honestly can't understand why people think that food that is bad for you is a treat. And I think the word spoil is actually the right word to use for some of those foods. Mm. So the challenge that I want to put out to people is to find things to celebrate with or to treat yourself with that are tasting good and are good for you. So that we don't have this thing of these forbidden foods in your head. You just eat food that's good for you.
Mm.
And, you know, to my clients, I say, would you eat that poison if you knew that it was going to kill you? Even if it tasted nice.
Mm.
And they all say, no, of course not, I'm not stupid. But then they go out and they eat white sugar and white flour and kimini, sweeties and things like that, and they don't. It's just that we haven't learned properly. We need to retrain ourselves, I think.
Mm.
And this we can do from early on, so that we don't have this good food and nice food being two totally different things.
Right, right. And like you say, everything is in moderation. You know, if I think about how we grew up, a takeout was, and that was a treat, the takeout was just what we knew. Fish and chips, that's all. That was what we knew of as a takeout. Now, I think the choice of bad eating has increased. And you so rightfully say, you know, it what you eat is who you are as well. But and what I do like and what you've authored as well is about, you know, your mindset. It's the choices that we make. And so if you're not in a proper happy space in your mind emotionally, it is going to affect you physically as well. And I think with physical challenges, the aging becomes apparent.
I want to tell you an interesting, there are two interesting stories about aging that I really want people to know about.
Mm.
And this is that, you know, there's this whole thing around ageism and how older people are seen in a certain way.
Mm.
Now, those ideas that run around in society actually influence people. And there's a doctor whose work I like a lot. She wrote very interesting books as well. Her name is Ellen Langer.
Yeah.
And she wrote a book, one that I'm very fond of, called Counterclockwise.
Mm-hmm.
And in this book, she talks about that as experiment that I want to tell you about. and that I wrote about. But the first one I want to tell you is about the being mindful. And what I did is I did an experiment to see how signals in the environment affect people without them knowing about it. Mm. And so they had two groups of people. The one lot that they warned and they said, look, you're going to be solving these puzzles in this experiment for us, like these word puzzles. And embedded in these words, you're going to find a whole lot of negative words around aging, like loneliness and infirmity and all sorts of ugly words around aging that people kind of expect when you get older.
Yeah.
And so the one lot was warned about the words in the puzzles, and the other lot went in and they didn't know that there were these pitfalls in their problems. And actually the whole experiment was not really to see how well they could solve the puzzles. It was to see how these subtle influences could affect them. So they watched these people as they came out of the experimental room. And the ones who weren't warned about the words and kind of faced all those words when they were solving these puzzles, they came out looking significantly older than the other group. They were walking more bent over. They looked more depressed. They didn't smile. They were really negatively affected by these words. Whereas the others, who had been warned about the difficult words, they swanned out, were quite happy. They didn't even blink.
Mm.
So the thing is, we need to be aware of all these little difficulties that could be there. Now, one of my favorite movies is Groundhog Day. People haven't seen it. I really want them to see it. It's just totally wonderful. But this guy, he learns very slowly. But there's one scene where every morning in this Groundhog Day, where every day just is the same day, he steps off the pavement and he steps into a pothole full of icy water. And then after a while, he really starts to get with it. And then you see him wanting to step off the pavement, and then he sees the icy water and he gets it and he walks around and he takes another leap. And in a sense, that is what happens in my head when I think of aging. There are all sorts of things that could be difficulties, but if we know where they are, then we can avoid those.
Right.
For example, if we think that we are going to be lonely when we grow older, we now need to start collecting people around us to make younger friends, to make additional friends when the ones that we have go elsewhere or when they die and leave us. So we don't have to have these self-fulfilling prophecies, but there is one thing that I really want to make sure people know, is that much of the good stuff that we talk about in positive aging doesn't just almost will happen to us. We have to go make it happen. You have to go and make friends. You have to go and exercise. You need to grow your own veggies so you can get the best quality vegetables that you can possibly make, or whatever the plan is that you're going to have. It's proactive positive action. So it's not just wishful thinking. We're not just sitting there and hoping that things are going to change. You actually have to go out and make it happen.
Yeah, like everything else, you have to make that effort to see a change. Yeah.
And you see, if you don't choose how you want to be as an older person, anyway, it's just going to be good enough. So I have this lighthouse concept. We talk about a homing source, that thing that guides your actions. And if you want to know, if you know that you want to be that 96-year-old who's still running a practice or having an active life in some kind of a way, best you keep that in mind when you have these decisions that affect you along the way. So that kind of guides you. It's it's a bit of noise here in my environment.
Okay.
But we need that picture of ourselves that can pull us across and can guide us and can help us to make the right decisions. And then it's quite easy. So is this decision going to get me to that age and that place or not?
Right.
So it's like having a lighthouse, and you aim all your activities in that direction.
Haneke, we're going to go for a break. But I'm just going to
read.
We're enjoying what you're saying. And we're taking heed and we're making notes of all of this. But we need to take a break, says my technician. But I want to read out a WhatsApp that have come through. And maybe when we come back from the break, you can just comment on the WhatsApp that have come through. And we encourage the listeners. We want to hear what their thoughts are on aging gracefully. It says, on the 8th of this month, it was reported in the newspapers that Chinese scientists discovered the novel gene therapy. It is based on disabling a single gene or using K87 inhibitors, which could extend mammal life. It could also slow down the aging of human liver cells. It suggests a massive potential for its application in translational medicine against human aging. That is something to ponder very quickly, and we're going to go for a break.
Yeah.
When we come back, Haneke, we'll discuss, or you can maybe just comment on that, and then we'll continue our discussion on aging gracefully.